This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the class of the sciences of the Quran. Today, inshallah, we will start with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. After we talked about Surah Al-Fatiha, we are moving, inshallah, to Surah Al-Baqarah. Al-Baqarah in Arabic means the cow. And this is the name which was given to this surah. So here we have an issue, which is the names of the surahs. Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, and the rest of the surahs. We already said that we have 114 surahs of the Quran. So who gave these names to the surahs? Was it the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was it the scholars after them? Was it the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? So in this issue, some scholars said all the names of the surahs, they were also given by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that the order of the ayat, it was from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody agreed that these ayat in order, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do it this way. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself instructed the companions to put each ayah in its place. Then the order of the surahs, Surah Al-Fatiha, then Surah Al-Baqarah, then Surah Ali Imran. Now, some scholars said even this order was from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we said this is the correct opinion. Now we come to the other issue, which is the names of the surahs. Some surahs, they have more than one name, like Surah Al-Isra. It was called Surah of the Children of Israel. In addition to Surah Al-Isra, we have Surah Al-Tawbah. Surah Al-Tawbah is called also Surah Al-Saif. Surah Al-Anfal, it is called Surah Al-Qital. So these names, some scholars said even these names were given by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you call it in another name, that's not a big deal. It's unlike when you change the order of the ayat. Whether you call it Surah Al-Baqarah or you call it Surah Al-Imran, scholars did not really care much about it. Yes, they discussed it, because when you start reading the Quran, you don't say Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And when you say Wala al-Dallin, Ameen, Surah Al-Baqarah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You don't do that. You move ahead. You go on straight. Wala al-Dallin, Ameen, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim. So whether you say it is from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or from the companions, or from the scholars later on, that's fine. However, most of the surahs, they were given the names, their names were given by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most of the surahs, if not all of them, they were given the names by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Can you tell me any evidence? Like, who named Surah Al-Baqarah with this name, Surah Al-Baqarah? Who called Surah Ali Imran with that name, Surah Ali Imran? Do you remember any Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What's the evidence?
Sahaba said we used
the
first three, and then the next five, and then the next seven.
Yeah.
So it had to be divided in that fashion.
Yeah, it's divided in that fashion. The companions used to say we start with three, then five, then seven. That's true. But they did not say we start with Surah Al-Baqarah, then Surah Al-Imran. We start with the first surah, second surah. That's related to the order of the surahs, not the names of the surahs themselves.
There's some other hadith that say like virtues of the surah.
Okay.
For example, the virtues of Baqarah, which is red, shaitan does not enter at night, and mulk and,
mm-hmm.
and kahf.
Very good. Okay. So in this hadith, the hadith of the virtues of some surahs, when the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever read this surah, he will get so-and-so reward. That means the name was given by the Messenger ﷺ. Do we have this applied here in Surah Al-Baqarah? Do you remember any surah, any hadith about naming Surah Al-Baqarah by the Messenger ﷺ? There are many, many ahadith. Now, a man came to the Messenger ﷺ and he wanted to marry a woman, but he did not have money. So he asked him, do we have anything from the Quran? And the man said, yes, I have Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, who told the companion about the name? The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was known at that time. So this is an evidence that this name was given by the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. معي سورة البقرة. I memorized سورة البقرة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called this surah with this name many times. And this comes to the second issue, which is the virtues. What are the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah? What are the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah? Very good. Who said that? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن الشيطان لا يقرب بيتا تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. So he gave that name. If the companions did not know what surah the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is talking about, they would ask him, which surah are you talking about? He told them, whoever reads Surah Al-Baqarah in his house, shaitan will not come close, will not approach, will not enter this house. That means the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the one who gave the name for Surah Al-Baqarah. So this is one of the virtues. Another virtue for Surah Al-Baqarah. Why do we read Surah Al-Baqarah? Because it's too long?
For blessings.
What blessings? Don't just read from the paper. What blessings? What's the blessing of reading Surah Al-Baqarah? Yes. It will intercede on the Day of Judgment. Very good. How? Is there a hadith? Or it's an opinion or what? It will intercede on the Day of Judgment. Yes. Go ahead. It has many rulings. That's true. So you learn the rulings by reading Surah Al-Baqarah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اقرأ القرآن فإنه يأتي شفيعا يوم القيامة لصاحبه. Read the Quran. It will intercede for the one who reads it on the Day of Judgment. اقرأوا الزهراوين. Read the two lights. What are the two lights? Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. These are the two lights. Al-Zahrawain. Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. They will come like clouds on the Day of Judgment, covering the one who reads them. So this is, again, an evidence that this is the virtue of Surah Al-Baqarah. It will cover you. It will help you. It will intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. It's protection. As we said, you wanted your house to be protected. You wanted yourself to be protected. Read Surah Al-Baqarah. And you will be protected. That's what the Messenger said. It's protection against magic. That's what the Prophet said. اقرأوا البقرة فإن أخذها بركة. When you read Surah Al-Baqarah, there is a blessing. What type of blessing? All types of blessings. You read long surah, you get the reward. Every letter, you have 10 hasanat for each letter. And this will be multiplied and doubled. You read long surah and you learn all the lessons and the rulings in it. This is another blessing. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً. By not doing such, by not reading Surah Al-Baqarah, there is a sorrow, will be remorse. It is a loss if you don't do that. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةً. And the magicians cannot overcome, cannot beat this surah. This surah is too strong for the magicians. So if someone was afraid that people may harm him, people want to do something wrong for him, he can read Surah Al-Baqarah and its protection. Because one ayah in this surah is the best ayah of the Quran. Ayat al-Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. If you read only one ayah, which is this ayah, before you sleep, you'll be protected from the shaitan. How about reading the entire surah? So this surah is blessing. These are few of the virtues that the Messenger ﷺ mentioned, and all of them are mentioned in the book. Yes? Al-Batala. Yes. Yeah, if you don't read it, it's a loss. That's what the Messenger ﷺ said. When you read it, you'll get the blessings. If you don't read it, it's a loss for you. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً. Again, all these are mentioned in the introduction for the surah, in the book. Now, we are moving to the beginning of the surah. It starts with Alif Lam Mim. Did you read Surah Al-Baqarah any time in your life? That's how it starts, right? Are you sure? Are you sure? Yes or no? So why you are hesitated to say yes? Alif Lam Mim. What does it mean? It has no meaning. So Allah puts something in the Quran for nothing, for no meaning. What do you think? Yes. Tafsir that Allah only knows. So there is meaning for it, but we don't know it. What do you think? So now we have more than... Yes. It was a challenge to the Arab. What do you mean by that? It's a challenge. Challenge by Alif Lam Mim. A-L-M. How do we translate this? What do you think? Yes.
A way to get your attention.
It is what?
A way to get your attention.
It is a way to get your attention. By these letters?
Yeah, because they don't have meaning.
So if I wanted to get your attention, I say H-I-J. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now notice, Surah Al-Baqarah is not the only surah that has this type of beginning. We have many surahs. Surah Maryam. Kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad. We have Surah Al-Qasas. Ta, sin, mim. Surah Al-Shu'ara, the same thing. Ta, sin, mim. We have Alif, Lam, Ra. Surah Al-Ra'd. Alif, Lam, Mim, Sad. Surah Al-Araf. We have many surahs. Hameen. We have many surahs start like that. So, and it is different. Sometimes Hameen, sometimes Alif Lam Mim, sometimes Alif Lam Mim Sad, sometimes Alif Lam Mim Ra, sometimes Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad. So, what's the meaning of these letters?
My grandpa, my uncle used to say, Allah Latif Majid, sort of.
Allah Latif Majid.
Yes.
No.
Translate like something.
No, actually some scholars, they came and they gathered all the letters in all these surahs. They omitted the repeated ones and they left only what's not repeated. And they came with statement. نَصٌ حَكِيمْ لَهُ سِرٌ قَاطِعٌ. This is a wise book or a wise text. It has a definite secret. Some scholars, they did that. But again, that does not answer the question. What's the meaning of these letters? Actually, scholars differed. They had four basic opinions, four major opinions in regards to this issue. What's the meaning of these letters? Some scholars, this is the first opinion, some scholars said there is a meaning for it. Whether it's a meaning of Allah, or it's the name of the surah, or it's an indication for the length of this ummah. So some scholars, they said there is a meaning for these letters. Whether it's the name of Allah, so Allah, He introduced Himself in another way, Alif Lam Mim or Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad. All of them, they refer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Or each letter, like Alif Lam Mim, it refers to a number, and when you add all these numbers together, you'll come up with a number, which is the length of this nation. So if this nation, like the Prophet ﷺ started before Hijrah, and now it is 1427. So if you add these numbers, you'll come to like 15, 16, 17, Allahu Alam. Some scholars said that's the meaning of these letters. It is an indication of the length of the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. Or it's the name of the surah. It's the name of the surah. So Surah Al-Baqarah means Surah Alif Lam Mim. But again, if you say this, there are other surahs with that name. So which one are you talking about? There are many surahs start with Hamim. So which one you're talking about? But anyway, that's the first opinion. The first opinion says there is a meaning for it. It is alif lam mim, but it has meaning. This is the first opinion. The second opinion, it says it's alphabetical letters, and there is no meaning at all for it. Now, again, in English, if you say HKZ, what does that mean? BNSDF, what does that mean? Does it mean anything? Does it mean anything? No. The same thing here. It doesn't mean anything. It does not mean anything. The third opinion, it says, there is a meaning for it, definitely. There is a meaning for it, but Allah knows it. We don't know it. Allah knows it, we don't know it. So there is a meaning for these letters. Allah knows it and we do not know it. This is the third opinion. The fourth and the last opinion, it says, we should not discuss this issue. Why? Because Allah sent some ayat for challenge or to test us. Ayat that we will not know the meaning of it. And this is one of them. So we should not discuss it. This is the fourth opinion. Now remember, we're discussing specific issue. What's the meaning of the letter? Many people, they mix between two things. The meaning of it and the purpose of it. Now the purpose of these letters, I agree, the purpose of it to challenge the Arab. To tell them, these are alphabetical letters. They are put together to have this Quran, this miraculous Quran. Try to do the same thing. Put alphabetical letters together and make the same Quran and you will not be able to. So maybe the purpose of it is to challenge the Arab. But the meaning of the letters themselves, does it have a meaning or not? These are the opinions, four opinions. So which one do you go with? Which one do you think is the strongest opinion? The third one. Allah knows the meaning of it. Well, whatever you go with, you need to have an evidence. And all the opinions are mentioned in the book. So you read the details. I believe the second opinion is the correct one. It's alphabetical letters. There is a purpose for them, but there is no meaning. What's the meaning of it? You need an evidence. If you say there is a meaning, but Allah knows it, where is the evidence for that? If you say it's a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where is the evidence for that? If you say it's a name of surah. So it's up to you. Again, whatever you go with, you need an evidence for it. I believe it's only alphabetical letters, just like any other letters, but it was put here to challenge the Arab, to show them that the Quran. Therefore, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif lam mim, dhalika al-kitabu. Tilka ayat al-kitab. This is the book, no doubt. These are the ayat of the book. What does that mean? That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them that this book is established from these ayat, from these letters. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these letters together, Allah came with this Quran. No matter how much you try, with the same letters, you will not be able to do the same thing. So anyway, that's the issue about the letters of the Quran. Now this is, we move forward, where Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That's the book. There is no doubt in it. Guidance for those who have piety. Now, let's discuss it further. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ. This is the scripture whereof there is no doubt. If you read this ayah in the Quran, you will find three small dots on the top of it, twice. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ. You have three small dots, and then فِي, over them also you have three small dots. What does that mean? Yes. Yes. This is called وَقْف تَعَانُق. You stop whether at the first one or at the second one. Whether you say ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ, and then you say فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, or you say ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That's what we mean by ta'anuq, waqf ta'anuq. And if you open the Quran, you will see it. The three small dots over these two words. So we'll start with the first one. ذلك الكتاب العريب. This is the scripture whereof there is no doubt. Whenever someone starts a book, in the preface he mentions, he acknowledged the efforts of his wife, his friend, the publishing company. He mentions that there were difficulties, that it was difficult to come with this book. It took 2, 3, 4 years, whatever. Here, when you read the Quran from the beginning, Allah tells you, this is the book. This is the scripture whereof there is no doubt. This is a powerful beginning for the Quran. And actually some people, they became Muslims only once they read this. Because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's from human being, a human being will acknowledge his shortcomings, but not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are no shortcomings in this book. So Allah is telling you, this is the book whereof there is no doubt. This is the scripture. That's the true book. La raib, there is no doubt. In it, guidance to those who are pious. If we stop at the first place, ذلك الكتاب العريب, this is the book whereof there is no doubt. You continue, in it there is guidance. Or in it guidance for those who are pious. The second way to stop, ذلك الكتاب العريب فيه. That's the book, there is no doubt in it. And then you continue, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, a guidance to those who are pious. Maybe you will be confused, but you need to go back again. Read it twice, three times, just to know the difference. This is another miracle of the Quran. If you say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it gives you a meaning. Or you say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it gives you another meaning. So two meanings for the same ayah just depends on the way you stop on it. This is a miracle of the Quran. And the two meanings are very similar. But in the first, let's go back, the first ayah, or the first time we stop, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ, this is the book, there is no doubt. While in the second time you say, there is the book, there is no doubt in it. So in the first time, the doubt refers to the book. While in the second time, we say, in it guidance. In the book there is guidance. So guidance was changed at the second time. At the first time, we said, there is no doubt. I don't know if it's clear or not, you need to read it again. And in order to understand it, we have a rule. This is a rule always in the Quran. Here we have it. Look at this word, it. This preposition. It refers to what? The Quran. Why? Why? Why you said Quran? What about here? In it, guidance. Is it still the same? What's the rule here in general, in language? Yes.
So I said it goes back to the last noun.
It goes back to the last noun.
Book.
Which is book. That's true. That's the rule. In the Quran, always, when you want to interpret an ayah, you have pronoun and you want to know if you replace this pronoun with a noun, with a name, which name should you put? You put the last name, the last noun, which was mentioned before. That's the rule. In general, in most cases, there are some exceptions, but in general, that's how you interpret the Quran. So let's say here, this is the scripture, whereof there is no doubt. In it, in what? In what? In scripture, because it was the last noun mentioned. In scripture, guidance to those who are pious. Try to see it this way. Now let's move again to the second time when we stop. That's the book, no doubt, in the book. A guidance to those who are pious. Did you notice the difference or not yet? When you say, this is the book, no doubt, in it guidance, and when you say, this is the book, no doubt, in it, a guidance to those who are pious. Did you notice the difference or not yet? It's a slight difference, but it is there. That depends on how you stop. This is the book, no doubt, or this is the scripture, no doubt, in it. So when you say, no doubt, you stop, then you move on. In it, guidance. The second time, when you say, this is the book, no doubt, in it, a guidance to those who are pious. It depends on the way you stop on it. Now, do you have to stop in one of them? Do you have to, or you can read the entire ayah without stopping? What? You have to. No. Actually, no, you don't. You can move on. How do you move on? You say, this is the book, no doubt, in it, guidance to those who are pious. Maybe in English it's difficult to translate because you have to choose. But in Arabic, it's the same. This is the book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ or ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. We have two recitations. But it's the same. We did not change anything. In English, if you want to continue without stopping, you have to determine. This is the book, no doubt in it, guidance to those who are pious, or this is the book, no doubt in it, a guidance to those who are pious. You have to determine. Again, this is another difference between the Arabic and the English translation. Okay, now what do we learn from this ayah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the book, no doubt, or this is the book, no doubt in it. When Allah is telling you that this is my book, there is no doubt in it, what does He want from you?
Listen,
exactly. Only to listen?
Read and take what's in it.
Exactly, to apply, to be sure of what you have. So this is one of the lessons that we learn. This is the book, no doubt. That means, do not be suspicious, do not question, fulfill, obey. Another lesson we learn from it, that the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is telling you there is no doubt. Do not suspect it. It is from Allah. There is no doubt. Another advantage we learn, another lesson, that when Allah tells you there is no doubt in it, that means there is no need for you to come and speak for the Quran, to add to it, to change, to divert. It's not your job. There is no doubt. That's it. It's clear. Don't come and add more things. There is no doubt in it. So the rulings are clear. You obey. You don't add or change or divert any meaning because there is no doubt in it. These are few lessons, and that's the tafsir. The tafsir is when you read the ayah and you derive the lessons from these ayat. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no doubt in it, a guidance to those who are pious. What do you learn from this? A guidance to those who are pious. This tells you that it may not be a guidance to everybody. And this is true about the Quran. The Quran in general is a book of guidance. The Quran is a book of guidance. But you notice sometimes people come with hostility, and they show you the ayah. Didn't Allah say in the Quran, kill the disbelievers wherever you find them? Yes, Allah did. Oh, so the Quran, it preaches terrorism. It preaches mass murder, massacres, killing people. No, that's not the case. But when you take the Quran, you take that approach, and you pick and choose only the ayat, it's true, you will not be guided. In order for you to be guided from the Quran, you have to come with a sound heart, with fairness. Because that's what Allah says. It's a guidance for those who are pious. If you are not pious, most likely, it's difficult to be guided with this Quran. So if you are biased, you have any kind of hostility, maybe the Quran will help you against Muslims. But if you are fair, The Quran also will help you, will guide you. That's what we learn. A book of guidance to those who are pious. Who are they? Now, if we ask ourselves, are we pious? Of course, everybody will say, yes, mashallah, I am perfect Muslim. Allah mentioned a few characters here. Let's see these characteristics. Do we meet them or not? We have four ayat. A guidance to those who are pious. What are they? We have three more ayat describing them. Then we have two ayat about the disbelievers. So these are six ayat. Then we have 13 ayah about the hypocrites. Four ayat, only four ayat about the pious, the believers. Two ayat, the disbelievers. And 13 ayah about the hypocrites. Why? Why do we have so much about the hypocrites? Because they are the great danger. They are the great danger. Now, is this surah Meccan surah or Medinan surah? Why? Why it's Medinan surah? Meccan surahs are small. Why this surah is the biggest surah in the Quran? What if we have a big surah but with short ayat, like Surah Shu'ara? No, it's Mecca. Surah Shu'ara is Meccan surah. Yes. Yeah, not maybe, for sure. I told you, for sure, any ayah has the hypocrites mentioned, it's a Medinan ayah. Now let's try to see the characters of the pious. How many characters Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned? فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Who are they? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Those who believe in the unseen. So this is the first thing. Believe in the unseen. Why believing in the unseen is a character for the pious, for the believer? Why? Why don't you believe only in things that you see?
It's a test. It's basically a test from Allah. Allah is trying to see if you
believe. Mm-hmm.
We want to see your true character.
If you believe only in what you see, then there is no meaning for the belief itself. You don't need to believe. You saw it. Do you believe this works? Of course, because you saw it working. So there is no meaning. That's why you have to believe in things you don't see. That's the real test. If all people, they got all the evidences and they saw everything clear in front of them, they will all believe. So the real iman, the real belief is when you believe in the unseen. That's why it was mentioned. They believe in the unseen. It's a character for the believer. Now Allah does not tell you just believe blindly, but there are evidences. Whatever mentioned in the Quran, you believe in it. Why? Because the Quran came from Allah. You have the evidence that Quran came from Allah, so you believe in whatever mentioned there, whether you saw it or you did not see it. Now some people tell you we don't believe in anything unless we see it or we sense it. They are liars. Because many times you have beliefs in many things which you don't see. It happens always. When you're driving your car, when you're drinking your water, many times. But unfortunately, when it comes to the religion, they don't apply this as well. While the Muslims, they apply it. Why you drink this water? Maybe it's poisonous. Because you believe that the manufacturer took care of it and he put pure water. This is belief. When you drive your car, you have a belief that everybody around you, they know how to drive. Otherwise, you won't be able to drive your car. You will take big distance, and once you have a signal, you want to move right, you have to be careful, and it will become almost impossible to drive unless you have the belief that everybody else knows how to drive. Many, in every, almost every single facet of your life, you have some kind of belief. You cannot live without it. But when it comes to the religion, they tell you, no, we cannot believe in anything unless we see it. So that's the first character for the pious, that they believe in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ They establish prayer. Now remember, this is again another rule. Always in the Quran, Allah says, وأقيموا الصلاة. Establish prayer. حافظوا على الصلاة. Maintain performing the prayer. Allah does not say pray. What's the difference? Establish the prayer and pray. Isn't it the same? Yes. Establishing means being on a regular basis. You don't pray one time and then you leave another time and then you come again. You pray only 3 times a day. Yes, what else? Establish the prayer in jama'ah. Exactly, this is another thing. But this pertains to men, because women, they don't have to come to the jama'ah. Can we call them they establish prayer? Yes. What else? Establish prayer. We will discuss it further. Of what we provided them, they spend. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Now this is the third character. That they spend of what we provided for them. What do they spend? Zakah. So if you pay the zakah, you are pious. Does that what the ayah say? They are in the same order of the pillars of Islam. Now let me ask you this. If you pray only the 5 prayers a day, are you considered establishing prayers?
In jama'ah?
In jama'ah. That's the minimum. That's the minimum. You are doing the minimum, so you are not still pious. Pious is a higher level. The same thing with the zakah. Of what we provided them, they spend. Of what? Remember, Allah did not say they pay specific share of what we... He says, of what? That means there is no what? There is no specific share. Of what we provided for them, they spend. That implies there is something added more than the zakah. So it's not only the zakah, but there is something more. Because if you only pay the zakah, it's a specific share. Allah does not say of what we provided for them. But because Allah said of what we provided for them, they spend, that means anything. It's not a limited or specific share they pay. So in order to become a pious, you need to pay something added, additional to the zakah, not only the zakah. This is another thing. Then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. They believe in what was sent to you and what was sent to those before you. So it's not enough to believe in what was sent to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Isn't it enough? Isn't it enough?
But you're only believing it. Are you actually doing it? What the Prophet or what the Messenger said, are you actually doing it? So it's not enough. You're just believing it. Like, you don't have
Why do you have to believe in other prophets? Why isn't it enough to believe in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam? Because they were also prophets of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
Because that's what Allah mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, believe in Musa, in Isa, in Yaqub, in Nuh. We believe in them. So in order to be a pious, you need to believe in everything that Allah tells you to believe in.
There's also lessons that came with those prophets that they're very valuable.
Yeah. We learn from their stories, the stories of the prophets. So you have to believe in the Prophet ﷺ and in those before him, what was sent before him. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Now, the last thing which is mentioned here, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they are certain about the hereafter. Allah did not say, and they believe in the hereafter. Why? Why at the beginning Allah said they believe in the hereafter, they believe in the unseen, and here He said they are certain. Allah did not say they believe also. Why? What's the difference? Yes, you will work harder and harder. Nowadays, you ask many people, do you believe in the Day of Judgment? Oh yeah, I believe. What is the proof of that belief? Nothing. You are certain, when you are certain, you will not do injustice to anyone. Because you know that whatever you do, you will be held accountable for it on the Day of Judgment. When you are certain about the hereafter, you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You avoid sinning. That's the lesson that we learn when Allah said, and they are certain of the hereafter, about the hereafter. So this ayah includes many lessons. Importance of the belief in the unseen. You cannot be a true believer, a pious, without believing in the unseen. What about the seen, the things that you see? Believer and disbeliever, they all believe in it. There is no meaning because you saw it. Something you see, you believe in it. Another lesson we learned, the virtue of the prayer. They establish prayer. Allah did not say they pray only, but there is something added to it. You perform wudu perfectly, you come early to the prayer, you pray additional prayers. Because in order to pray the obligatory prayers, you have to pray something else. To maintain, to be able to maintain the prayers correctly. Spending mentioned in the ayah is not zakah only. We learn this again because it's not a specific share. And we learn also that the one who steals and he pays money in charity, he's not doing any good. Because Allah said, of what we provided for them. So you have to spend of what you have, not of what others have. You don't steal from someone and you pay the zakah or you pay the money and you say, I am doing charity. That will not help you. Because Allah said, of what we provided for them, of what you have. That's what you should do. Okay, the next ayah. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ This is ayah number 5. They are on guidance from their Lord. And they are the true successful. مُفْلِحُونَ فَلَاح in Arabic. This is ayah number 5. فَلَاح in Arabic. It's unlike success in English. They translate it usually as success. فَلَاح is to grasp. The true success is in the hereafter. Even if someone has millions of dollars, but he will end up in hellfire, then what's the use? That's the true success. True success is to enter paradise. That's what Allah says in the Quran. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ Whoever was taken away from hellfire and admitted paradise, then he won. That's the true success. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Those, the pious people, they are the successful. So not everybody will be successful in the hereafter. Do not think that everybody will pass. Many people will fail. But the pious, they will pass. So with this, I will stop here, inshallah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Is there any question about the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah from 1 to 5? Any question? You have to read the book, please. Remember to read the book. Now, we reached almost page 102. So, yes.
Fatma says, what's the word meaning of falah?
Falah? What do you mean? What's the word?
Success.
Yeah, we said success, but not any success.
Yes.